delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Sky Blue Stories with a World Cup twist tonight, as we've got two Balms helping us host. It's Jono Sean, we've got Julian Balm back, and Alex Balm-Johan. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Brilliant to have you. I think we're a third of the way through Qatar 2022, so we thought we'd jump on and talk a little bit about the World Cup, but also talk about Sydney FC's victory over Celtic, and a bit about what the boys have been up to and what the girls have been up to a bit later on as well. But we're here at the wonderful Bella Vista Hotel podcast and video studio now, boys. So
there are GoPros.
They are decking the place out for us, which is wonderful to see. But Alex, you've been a busy man this week with the Germans on. everyone wants a bit. You must be the only German in Sydney.
No, that's right. I was invited to the Daily World Cup show on Sunday and was on the coverage for the Germany-Spain game on Monday morning. Had to wake up very early. I mean, I usually wake up early, but not that early. I had to be there at 4:30. But it was fun. And waking up at around 3 and seeing the result of Japan losing to Costa Rica.
Yes. You would have loved that.
Was a big boom for me. Meant we would still have every chance, even losing to Spain. But then I think Germany played well against Spain and now just needs to beat Costa Rica and hope that Japan won't beat Spain.
Looks like it. We'll get into the wonderful World Cup very shortly. This is your second appearance with us.
That's right. I think the last one was a year or a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Longer, we did it over Zoom. I think maybe
during lockdown. That wonderful COVID lockdown time when we could barely go 5 kilometers.
That's right, actually. Yeah.
Time runs so right. quick.
Yeah.
I don't think I was on that.
No,
I wasn't with you guys.
Would have been just before. Would have been just before Jules joined us.
So only that's one bomb was allowed.
Only one bomb.
Exactly.
That's right.
One slide him as opposed to two.
Slight Simpsons reference.
Right. Alex. Yes. Alex actually reached out, Jules. Alex actually reached out, Jules, and said, I want to come and talk to Julian. So
about contracts later. But we'll talk about that off air.
Maybe a brother from another mother. Who knows?
Maybe. Speaking of contracts, Alex, what have you been up to since we spoke to you last? I suppose I've seen that you've been studying away actually quite a bit. You've done some UEFA certification and some football management stuff. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, pretty busy. I always say that I expected retirement from football is more about sitting on the beach and enjoy life. But I have to say that since I left Sydney FC last year in July, I am really pretty busy. Mm. I started to study international sports management when I was still playing. I figured out during my career that if I continue in football after my active career, then it will be in management and not as a coach. Mm-hmm. So I started to study international sports management early 2021 and finished it in April this year.
Fantastic.
Was an intense time with a lot of studying and exams and everything and many different topics, but was fun. And then last year, around this time, something unexpected happened. A good friend of mine, who is big into property development, mm-hmm. he reached out to me and asked me, or told me that he is in talks to buy an A-League club.
Wow!
And asked me if I would come on board as a shareholder and to be in charge of the football department, which I said yes straight away. Mm-hmm. So I won't mention which club it was, but since then there were like 6, 7, 8 months where we went through all the things within the club and
red tape,
all the numbers and everything. So in this time I learned quite a lot and I figured out that that's what I want to do. I want to be in a leading position in a football club, and I started to study or to do my international my certificate in football management in at the UEFA Academy in January. Finished that in September. So pretty intense times. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. The prize that we offered, the current owner didn't accept. You wanted ridiculous money for the club. it was a good time, and I learned a lot.
Is the club in Australia?
Yeah, in Australia.
Okay.
It wasn't Wellington.
It's an A-League club.
Oh, no, okay. That's, yeah.
He's ruled out.
He's
ruled out Wellington.
It's an A-League club, and it would have been fantastic, but sometimes so things don't work out the way you expect.
I mean, that's brilliant on the job, I guess, experience for you straight away, you know, so you can put that that study straight into it as well. But is that something that you're heading towards still? So you see yourself as a sort of a sporting director, football director, that sort of role?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are so many other things within a football club that you have to look after when you're in a leading position. Mm. And obviously during my international sport management study, I learned a lot about finances, about marketing and sponsorships and stuff. But I see myself more in the football sides, and I think there's a lot of work to do, and it's very important to have someone who is responsible just for the football department, and that's where I see myself in.
We'll see now. Let's not be too obvious here, but we know Mr. Santo listens. So, Alex, this is a good interview for you, right? So, but boys, this is something. This role is something that fans actually ask the club a lot through socials. Is you know, where is our sporting director? Where is our head of football management operations? So, I mean, there are limited opportunities, obviously, in Australia, unfortunately, for the role. But it's one that Sydney's missing. And you know, if we're the biggest club, or we want to be the biggest club, you know, that's a role clearly that.
Mm. So you got Kelly Cross, who looks after the.
It's more the academy,
but something. Yeah.
We've got Harm Berger as well, who is on the board, but you know, he's never here.
And that's kind of what they're saying at this time.
That's
is
right.
The sporting or football director, but I think you do need someone here that's more obviously hands. So that's not a hit out at Hans. He does fantastic stuff for the club.
And has done.
And has done in the past. But it's just more, if we can have somebody hands-on here, I think that will obviously be very beneficial.
Is there always a risk that a football director can kind of clash, or where does his or her role stop and finish with the coach?
I don't know. Alex might be able to answer that one.
I don't think so. If you look into world football, every other country and every other club in the world, apart from Australia, is working with a football director, and I don't think that this means tension within the club. I think it's also a support for the head coach, because I mean, Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City, they're working with a proper sporting director, and the structure in the clubs in Australia is that you normally have the owner and the board and the CEO, and then the next one is the head coach. Yep. And I think it's very important to have someone in between those two departments who connects the CEO with the football department. And that means someone who supports the head coach and the CEO. So I think it's a crucial position.
Definitely.
And I mean, I'm in close contact with Adam Santo. We met several times.
Mm.
And we will see if something works out in the future. But again, if it's me or someone else, I think this position is
needed.
Crucial and needs to be implemented at one stage.
I think the tension only comes in if the culture is not correct at a club. If the culture is correct at a club,
some defined roles.
Yeah, exactly. It's the defined roles. Then obviously everybody's there with a common goal of being the most successful we can be for the club.
And it's different. Like again, for Australia, I guess for people that watch all the other sports, it's different to say a rugby league when they bring in a head of football, because usually that's someone that then is there to help the coach, you know, and it's then they usually end up being the person that comes and does the interim role, but this is a completely different role.
The sporting director is not just responsible for the first team, right? Mm. It's also for the academy, for the women's team, for the medical department and all this stuff. So there's a lot of things to do that I imagine the head coach doesn't want to do, because he has to concentrate with the daily work with the players. And sometimes the CEO maybe doesn't have the ability to really have this knowledge over the football department. Yeah. And at Sydney with Han Berger, I think he's doing the best possible job he can do from far. I think it's very important to have someone.
Yeah. It connects the football world with the business world.
What about the when we get a national second division, when those NPL teams from across Australia come in, maybe looking at one of those teams? So then it's a bit more from scratch, a bit more grassroots, and then potentially, you know, you could take them and get them promoted and find themselves in the A-League one day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a lot of opportunities everywhere else. I mean, I love it in Australia. I hopefully get my PR soon. And we always said we want to live here at least midterm. But I'm also in talks with a club in Germany, for example. Mm-hmm. They offered me a job for the next season. So I'm thinking of maybe doing that. But for me, I think the obvious thing would be to start in Australia to get my first experiences. But then I'm very ambitious, and at one stage I want to be back like in one of the best leagues in the world.
Fantastic. That's exciting. It's very exciting. Yeah. So hopefully that opportunity comes sooner rather than later for you. But, you know, if you move back now, you know, you've got a puppy, you've got a new member of the family. Yeah, so, you know.
That's right. Nah, I mean, I have to look after my career. I have to think about what's best for me and my family. Mm. Coming back to your question at the beginning, I mean, at the moment I'm pretty busy having a lot of discussions with people in leading positions in football clubs around the world, not just in football, also in other sports and in other businesses, to learn as much as I can and get some experiences back from sporting directors, CEOs that I worked with in the past, and this quite helpful. So I think with all these attributes that I bring to the table, with my network and expertise and my identification with Australian football, it would be obvious from the outside to get me in at one stage. But
has anyone asked you to play player agent yet, to do some scouting?
A lot of people ask me that, but I'm not a,
because your network, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not an agent. That's not for me.
Yeah, just send them to Terry. It's okay.
Some people are built to do that, but that's not for me.
That's not for you.
The football business is just getting more and more complicated. And as an agent, you always have to tell your players what they want to hear. Yeah. If not, you always take the risk that they're going to leave you and go somewhere else where they just get positive things to hear all the time. So that's not for me. I want to build up some long-term projects. And I think especially here in Australia, there's so many things to improve. And I would be happy to give something back that I learned during my career.
Fantastic. Well, like I said, let's hope that opportunity comes sooner rather than later. Let's skip ahead. Let's talk a bit about the World Cup in Germany. Obviously, you've done a lot of media on that this week, and we are a Sydney FC podcast. But we thought, Jules, we'd spend a bit of time, seeing as Jules, Germany is your second team.
I've got an invested interest, definitely, with regards to that. But yeah, look, Alex, I mean, I think everybody that's either German or anybody that has German heritage, or anyone that just supports the German national team, because there's quite a few,
or just loves their jerseys
because let's face it, they produce the best ones in the world. I don't think we would have anticipated being where we are right now. First game reaction, I know I was shocked big time. What was your reaction?
Yeah, with the result of obviously very disappointing, but not everything was bad. If you look back to the game, they had so many chances after the 1-0. They could have scored the second. Gundogan hit the post. So if you score the second goal, the game is over. You probably win 2-3-0.
Yeah.
And then everything looks different, right?
Of course. But
I mean, I said this when I was at SBS. It's a bit embarrassing to say as a German that after two games with 1 point, you still have every chance to go through.
Yeah.
But thanks to Costa Rica beating Japan, we still have every chance. And if we win against Costa Rica now and we make it to the next round, I am pretty confident that there's still every chance to win the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think with the first game, obviously, against Japan, we obviously know quite a bit about Japan having faced them all the time, Australia, obviously, and we know that they're technically extremely sound. They're very quick. They were even winning some of the physical battles, which you probably wouldn't anticipate with no disrespect to Japanese national team. But I agree, it was kind of similar situation to the South Korea game. Obviously, that was a little bit different because the last game of the last World Cup in 2018. Mm. But I remember watching that and was supposed to be at the game but couldn't get the plane tickets to get there. But watching in the airport and just chance after chance and then just getting hit on the counter twice. I feel like that almost mimicked the same, just with another different Asian opponent. But I felt like in terms of the combativeness, got a lot better against Spain. You could tell that the players were really up for the contest. I that's my perception especially.
Yeah, and if you look into the German media, if you have seen what they were writing and saying after the loss against Japan, I think there's enough motivation for the players.
Yeah.
So I think they showed a good direction, a good reaction after the Japan game. And I think the result, Japan Costa Rica, helped them to get some confidence. Sure. So they knew even if they lose, there will still be a chance in the last game. And the game was great, very intense, great to watch. And I just hope they're going to take this into the last game and hopefully beat Costa Rica by 3-4 goals. And then we're going to see them in the next round against Croatia. Or
what a moment for Niklas Füllkrug as well.
Yeah,
oldest German debutant, I think, outfield player.
Yeah, and they were craving to put a proper number 9 in Germany. And he played well in the whole season. He scored I think 12 goals in the Bundesliga so far at Werder Bremen, which is not easy because they're not the strongest team. So when he came on, you could really see that there's a change. Also Leroy Sané, I think he was brilliant when he came on.
Yeah, he was very effective.
He makes the difference with his pace. And I really believe that Füllkrug will start in the last game against Costa Rica because you need a lot of goals.
I agree.
Is the problem with Germany is that they're so stacked? Like it's just you look at their depth on the bench, and is it a problem trying to fit everybody? You know, you can only obviously put 11 players on the field. Is that part of the problem trying to work out who's best and the chemistry and combinations? Do I go with a very heavy buy-in kind of influence? Or
I don't know. I think it's more about a generational change. If you look at Spain also, I mean, Spain was so dominant. 2008, they won the Euros. 2010, they won the World Cup. 2012, they won the Euros again. And then after, I think 2014, they didn't make it out of the group. And 2018, they were struggling. So they went through this process also. And now you can see they have some great young players again. I mean, after Xavi, Iniesta, Piqué, Ramos, Torres, like all those players being out now. Now they have Pedri, they have Gavi, they have Ansu Fati, like all those young players stepping in. And I think that's the next generation. And Germany, I think, is going to a similar process.
Yeah.
They have players like Musiala now, who will be the next big thing for me. I said this before.
Might be coming to Liverpool.
Pedri and Bellingham, for me, are the three greatest players of this generation. We will see so much from them in the future. But as a nation, you always go through these changes. And even if Germany gets out now or in the next round, I think 2026, they will be stronger than ever.
Yeah, they'll have the experience of this tournament with some very young players that have obviously started to produce at an international, top international level. Musiala, I think, will be contesting potentially for Ballon d'Ors. Yeah. I think he's an unbelievable talent. The only thing I would probably criticize, just arcing back to Germany's performance against Spain, and it was just a perception that I had, was I feel like at a point in the game, and maybe it was to do with a little bit of desperation, but we were playing extremely direct and just trying to find, I get it, try to turn around the defense and find pockets of space, but when you've got a midfield of the quality of Germany, it's kind of crazy that we bypass that even for like 30, 40 minutes by my count, which that's probably the only thing I could be critical of. But at the end of the day, got the result that we needed to get, and we still live to fight another day. I think we should beat Costa Rica 3-4, 5-0.
Well, they've got something to play for, don't they?
This World Cup, you never
know. You don't know, yeah.
There's been quite a few upsets. Is it just me?
There's been a few.
Yeah, there has been a few.
There's been a few.
Yeah. But we just play a different... they play a different style of football now too, I feel like, under Lowe. Have you noticed any difference between Flick and Lowe? In terms of their managerial style and maybe their style of play?
Yeah, a little bit. But again, I think it comes more down to the players. A lot of new players, a lot of players that were playing at the World Cup 2014, for example, when they won it, they are not there anymore. But what you just said, I think everyone imagined that Germany would struggle more on the defensive side and be good on the offense. But against Spain, I think if one thing stands really out was their pressing. I mean, they pressed so high the whole game, and Spain... suddenly in the second half, they just started to make those like mistakes and passing the ball to the German players, something that's not common for them. And they got Germany back in the game. So I think Spain had everything in their hands, and with the German pressing, they just threw it away. And I think this is really something we didn't expect before.
Exactly. The Spain are so stuck on playing out from the back that there was almost their own worst enemy. When a team's pressing you that high, surely you need to... where's the space?
In behind.
I know, naturally. But I also like it if you have a coach like Luis Enrique who says, doesn't matter if you lose the ball, I just want you guys to play that again. Yeah. But then you could see also after when he brought Morata in, I think that was a sign for his team to play a little bit longer, more longer balls, because before they didn't really play with a proper number nine. So after both coaches put in a proper number nine with Füllkrug on the German side and Morata on the Spanish side, the game changed.
Definitely.
It is the group of death, probably followed closely behind by Group H. Like, it's a bloody tough group. Like, Japan are often the best, if not second best, in Asia. Costa Rica is a bit of a surprise packet, but you'd expect Germany to get the win over Costa Rica and Spain to flex their muscle against Japan. But what if Japan draw?
Yeah, then Germany is
out. And still Germany win by a few goals?
Yeah, no, then Germany is in.
Yeah.
But the good thing is also, I mean, if Spain would have won against Germany, then they would be first for sure, and they could rest players in the last game.
Yeah.
So the good thing is, with a German goal against Spain, now Spain needs to win or draw. Because if Spain would lose against Japan and maybe Germany beats Costa Rica 8-0, then Spain would be out.
Yeah, Japan and Germany go through. Yeah, so it's... I can't remember in all the World Cups I've watched so much has come down to this last group stage game.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite exciting.
Alex, what would it mean? Give us a bit of an insight into what it would mean for German football if they don't get through this group. What would be the ramifications?
Yeah, it would be a disaster. Yeah. But sometimes, and I said this about Australia also, sometimes you need to fail to change things.
Yep.
I'm very happy, don't get me wrong, for Australia to...
But Alex, we're used to not making it out of the group stage. Come on.
No, I know, but I'm so happy for Australia that they beat Tunisia, and that was a great result. And they, I think, played a fantastic game. But obviously everyone knows that things are not going 100% in the right direction in Australian football. And with them qualifying for the World Cup and now maybe going through to the knockout round means that people maybe think that the work they did in the recent years would be great. It
wasn't when it's not.
It was great.
Yeah.
It wasn't, because if you look at all the Australian players, how many of the Australian players actually play in the big leagues? I mean, you have
one.
Yeah,
or two.
I think Rustic is playing in Germany.
Yeah. Mobile.
But he's in Spain. To a lesser degree. And you have Moy at Celtic.
Of course,
but if you look back at 2006, you had Harry Kewell, you had Mark Viduka, you had Tim Kay. Like there's so many
good old days.
Players playing on the highest level, and I really think that Australian football has so much room to improve. Yeah. And my only concerns are that if they make it to the next round, that nothing will change.
Kind of, yeah, we always do enough to make each World Cup and then, you know, do, for our standards, okay at the World Cup. And it kind of just papers over the cracks. Yeah. But look, like, yeah, we're doing all right, yeah, because look how we perform. But no, it's kind of a bit of a short-term sugar hit.
But look at the USA, for example. I mean, I rather lose all the games in the World Cup and then I change things and... Mm. 4 years or 8 years later, I can actually compete with countries like America, England or Wales or Iran, rather than losing all the games or always like being there but never really go far. So I think the USA and the MLS, the things that they do over there, this is really something that Australian football and the A-League should look up, because as Australia, you can't compare yourself to a European country. You can't compare the A-League to the Premier League because with the salary cap and all those circumstances, it's just not comparable. Yeah,
of course.
If I would be in Australia in charge for the A-League or for the national team, whatever, I would just look to America and look to them, how they do stuff and just imitate this. And I think they're doing a great job over there.
Well, outside of Germany winning the World Cup this year, who? What other teams, what other countries have you got your eye on? Is it just Brazil and Argentina we're going to see in a final?
Yeah, for me the favourites were Brazil until Neymar got injured. And I also said before that Neymar will win the Golden Boot and the best player probably. This is why he got injured.
He jinxed
my prediction, but yeah, Brazil is strong. I think they have a lot of good players on the bench even and huge depth in their team. So I would say Brazil is the favorite.
Does Brazil have to be your second team? Is your wife's background Brazilian?
Yeah, my wife is from Brazil.
Are they your second team or I have to be. Yeah, you played there as well.
I have a strong relationship. You played there as well. To Brazil. Yeah, Brazil is my second team.
Yeah, brilliant. What about you boys? Who's impressed you boys?
I have a sneaking suspicion that England will kick. Now that they're out of the group stage. Yeah. I'm not saying they'll win it, but I reckon they'll make the semis and maybe a third place playoff.
I think whenever they have a stronger opponent, they will lose.
Yeah.
Same with Holland. I don't think that Holland plays against USA now. I think they will put them in trouble. Yeah. So I don't think that England or Holland will go far at the World Cup.
I think Argentina will just be doing enough each game. Mm-hmm. They're just doing enough. Like, obviously, with the exception of the first game, but that was...
We're going to beat them in the round of 16. What are you talking about?
We're not going to even play them in the round of 16. Because we're going to play Saudi Arabia when they top the group.
Ah, okay. All right.
I'm speaking it into existence tomorrow morning.
Very good. Very good.
But yeah, I think Argentina will just somehow just do enough to get by and go... pretty deep, I think, at least semi-finals, quarter-finals, something like that. And then at that stage, realistically, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility that Germany, Argentina play in...
Germany can play Brazil on the way to the final.
Ooh. Okay.
Argentina's on the other side.
Yeah. I've got the two South Americans.
Maybe Portugal has a little bit of a... Even though they've topped their group, maybe as a bit of a smoky...
They're very... Their squad's so deep. It's so balanced. It's perfect. They're a really good shout. Still, a lot of people, neutral fans that don't have any allegiances anywhere, are like, hopefully Argentina, Portugal for the best final of all time. But
Uruguay was my dark horse, but they didn't really
struggling.
Tough group. Yeah, they might get knocked out. Yeah. Ghana are going to be very motivated for that game for particular reasons. Yeah,
that's it. Very good. All right. Well, I mean, I could listen to you. Boys talk about German football all day, I think. But we better move on to some Sydney FC content, I think. A couple of weeks ago, Alex, it's been brilliant from a fan perspective, just for a second, to see you at a few games this year. We saw you at Leichhardt Oval for the Cup game earlier. Or the first game of the season, was it? The Mariners.
Against Mariners.
Yeah. The in the Cup. It was wonderful to see you there. I saw you talking, you're very popular, lots of people coming up and saying hello. I think you were trying to sit quietly and enjoy the game. But you've obviously been watching the games. Have you been out to Allianz? You were at the Derby?
Yeah.
unfortunately, for the result, but that's okay. We played Celtic a couple of weeks ago in a 2-1 win against the champions of Scotland, Sean, and we looked pretty good.
We looked fantastic, but I'm going to pump it up a lot before I get negative Sean out. Look, it was purely from a neutral point of view, if you want to get, and I think that was part of the point of the Super Cup, to get eyes on the A-League and people interested going, oh, who's this Sydney FC team? All right, I might get a membership or at least a flexi pass. We played really well, no doubt. For sure. Really great game, really open-ended. There was a ton of space for each team to attack in. And normally with those friendly games, you kind of defending is, it doesn't go out the window, but it's just not as important.
It's like an NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, they just want to see goals and point, and whatnot. And there was plenty of that. Mac, great goal, Jonathan. You loved it with him opening up his hips and just slotting it apart. Yeah, it was a nice finish.
Classy finish.
And then Mac said, hold my beer, and then whipped a beautiful. And he almost did that, half a dozen weeks ago against Victory in the first Big Blue, in the first game of the season, whipping it in from the left. But Alex, did you play any friendlies in your game, in your day? Maybe, back in the day with Bayern or Schalke, was there?
Probably not high profile ones, but you would have done obviously, pre-season and things like that.
I remember when I just joined Sydney FC and we played PSG in China.
We
almost beat them. We could have gotten a 1-2 nil up. So I think it was a great game. But as you just said, it's a friendly game and everyone is motivated to play those games from the smaller club.
Yeah.
You want to play against clubs like Celtic and show something on this stage. But also, Celtic, they flew to Sydney just, I think, 1 or 2 days before. When you saw Barcelona playing against the A-League All-Stars, I think it was something similar. So, I wouldn't really rate this that high. Yeah. The performance was great. It wasn't easy, but I saw a lot of good stuff that I haven't seen in the derby.
Yeah,
and I think it's something positive to look at, and maybe gives the players more confidence. Yeah.
From a player momentum, from a player point of view, take us inside that PSG game. Do you treat it to try and implement, what you've been working on in the preseason? Does Bimby sort of say, don't hurt yourself, just, go out and have fun? What is it like from a playing point of view and I guess a club point of view?
Yeah, when you play against Sydney FC, against PSG, I don't think that you need a coach to tell you much. For 99% of the players, that's probably the only opportunity to play against those
size.
Those players, So everyone was motivated and everyone want to just give his best.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's day one of preseason or after the season. So it was a great opportunity for everyone, and those games are great. And I think the attendance at Allianz was also good. Not as good as it was in the derby, but still quite a lot, like a big crowd. So I think it was a great event. And as I said before, hopefully the players will take this confidence into the next games.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of speculating leading up to the game who he would start. We thought he might kind of throw on the kids and let the youth boys get a lot of time. I was a little bit surprised to see Lolly and Max start, or especially Lolly played, I think, close to 88-odd minutes, pretty much a full game. All right, negative Sean will come on now.
I could be
quite cynical. A lot of people were really excited. We're like, oh, Max Burgess, start him. Admittedly, when Max has come on this season, I don't think he's played well enough to make Bimby stop in his tracks and go, oh, geez, I've got to start Max next week. He was brilliant. He's been a little bit, and I love Max. I yell it out to him whenever I saw him at Cogra. He's been a bit probably mediocre. But based on his performance, maybe could we find space?
He was very good.
And I don't know, he just had that freedom. Could we see him step into the Bamyahan kind of number 10 position or something?
This has always been my criticism for the Maxi Burgess lovers. It's just the consistency, right? Like it's as Alex was just saying, it's great that, the pressure's off a bit in the friendly, you can move around a bit easier, a bit less defense, whatever else. But Max has got to do that game after game after game after game. And unfortunately, it's just... Yeah, it's just been eluding him a bit, you know, since he had that purple patch with Western United, you know, a couple of seasons ago. He was the talk of the Australian football community. Mm. He hasn't quite turned it on a consistent basis for us. But based on that, mate, I'd be putting him in. I reckon he's almost earned a start out of that. Jules?
Where would you start him though, Jules?
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we play with... Well, I was pretty critical the last time we talked about a Sydney FC performance with how high our 10s were, pretty much in line with the 9. I think I spent about 5 minutes talking about how stupid that was. But I think the only place you can really pop him is at 10. I mean, you could play him out on the right, potentially, but then what, no Lolly?
What do you do with everyone else?
Mackie. Yeah. So
I'd either put him... left. Actually, I'll tell you where I put him first. So either at 10 and then make Caceres the 8 with Bratz the 6.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty strong. And then Yaz can come on when you need. Or maybe Bimby's just not so stubborn and just goes, oh, who we're playing this week? Oh, such and such team, Wellington. Oh, maybe Max's attributes will be better suited playing against that midfield and let's play him then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, potentially.
I quite liked Mac at 9. Does Mac kind of solve our... And I love Alfie, and I know you're good friends with Alf, Alex.
He's a pest. He's a pest for Alex.
But do we potentially start Mac at 9, and then you could find either Segegicic... Say it for me, Jonathan.
Segegicic.
That's the one. Or Max, or maybe Anthony at that left-wing position. Mm-hmm. Could you see Max as our future 9? Ooh. Alfie doesn't listen to me. I know your friends.
I think Alfie... not because we are good friends, but he's the most dangerous player in this squad, even at this age, and even him getting criticized a lot recently. I think when you look at his goal record, this is something like he can still do when he's 40. Mm. You know, he will always score goals. But the thing is, he also needs to get balls.
Oh, 100%.
And the system now with... a left foot on the right wing and the right foot on the left wing, and both pretty similar players get going to the inside
and shooting
from everywhere. Mm. Also, is not ideal for a striker, you know. So I think whoever you put there needs to get more services from the other players. But apart from that, I don't think that the issues are in the offense, you know. I mean, apart from the Wanderers game where Sydney didn't score in the games before, I think they scored 10 goals in 4 games or whatever, but also conceded a lot.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't concentrate too much find issues in the offense. I would rather look what's happening at the back.
We can't sustain outscoring everybody. Like, it's all well and good scoring 3 or 4 goals a game, but when you're conceding 4 or 5, that's just not good enough. Probably. Like goals will win you games, but you know, defense will win you titles.
Well, that's
that down, everyone. I think
that on a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Where'd you pick that one up
from? I don't know. I saw something similar on Twitter. Saw something on Twitter similar. Maybe Simon Hill said it. I don't know.
No, but look, I think we've talked about it obviously last podcast, and Rowdy did a bit of stats for us, and it was our second worst season defensively for the start for the first 5 games. Or 6 games, I think we conceded 12 or 13 goals, which is just, you can't do that and expect it. If you're averaging conceding 2 goals per game.
It's because we don't have this man, you know, in the defence anymore. That's why.
His defensive work rate in the horseshoe formation.
That's right.
but look, I agree. I think our defence has been, I think it's a...
The lack of depth has shown.
Yeah, through. Yeah, for sure. There's that. Yeah. And I think that's just potentially... poor recruitment and planning, or probably poor planning.
A little bit of bad luck.
A little bit of bad luck, but if we're if we're relying on a 37-year-old to be fit every single week, I don't know. It just seems a little bit
narrow-sided. Grant has been our best in a struggling defence.
Yeah, he has. And the other thing is, I feel like you were saying, we go predominantly to the 7-11, and I mean predominantly almost exclusively at times.
Yeah.
To try to play the 7-11 with a switch,
until, as Alex said, until Wanderers, no one could stop them.
No.
Right. So we just need a plan B there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because people have already worked out our plan A. We're not being adaptable enough to go to a plan B.
But as I've heard someone else say, it might have been Garby actually, but it's still a good plan. Get the ball to Lolly and Mac and let them go at it. Like, that's still a plan.
Oh, for sure.
But there needs to be an alternative route.
Yeah. And I just feel like if we're continually playing that way, or it becomes very easy for a defender, okay, the ball's going to come over top. Okay, I'm set. Okay, I've got cover. I'm fine. I'm too covered. He's going to have to go inside, and we're well set up. So,
Alex, if you're the coach or you're on the field and you've got the 10 shirt on your back, how do you bring a number 9? Because something we've noticed is when Alfie was fit and before he got, was it Hammy or whatever it was? And then when Paddy Wood started and running around, they barely got any touches. And that's so frustrating as a 9. He just wants the ball at his feet. So how is a coach, or is it if you're playing on the field and you're a 10, how do you bring the number 9 into the game and let him do what he can do best and score goals?
You just have to find him. I mean, if you look at Erling Haaland's stats at City, he also doesn't have 100 touches per game, but he knows that he has to be in the right positions. And when he's in the right positions, he gets the ball. And I think, looking back to the games before, especially when Alfie was still fit before his injury, a lot of times he was in the right moment, but he didn't get the ball.
Couldn't get found.
It's always easy to blame the striker. Yeah. Then. But as I said before, I think in this squad, they're not playing with a traditional number 10, and they also don't have a traditional number 10 within the squad. So I find it hard for a striker in this system. And don't get me wrong, Lolly and Mac are great players for me. I think they did a great job in signing those two players, but they are quite similar. And it's always easy for the opponent then to prepare yourself if you know that both will normally always cut in.
Yeah.
Because normally when you build a squad, then you get on one side one player who has the strength to go in and shoot, and the other one more of a dribbler and putting crosses in, and not like really similar players. But I still believe that Sydney has enough quality to be in the top six.
Absolutely.
After last year's disappointment, I think. And for a club like Sydney FC, that they promote themselves like the biggest club in Australia, what I think they are, they need to be more dominant. And I'm a bit worried about the future because the core of the team with, I don't know, Alex Wilkinson and Milos, who left, Michael Zulu, who's not there anymore, Ryan Grant getting older, Redders getting older. So this core group of the team is just like falling apart a little bit. Yeah. And also within the salary cap, all those players, they gave you this loyalty exemption, so you could spend more money within the cap. And once this is missing, it will be hard to build this up again. And that will be a long process. And I'm a bit worried that the club could like move into a mid-table
for a couple of
situation
years.
Over the next years, like something that the Wanderers went through in the last 5 or 6 years. Hopefully not, but there's a lot of work to do. And
we'll never be that bad.
Not that bad.
Is it a matter of, we've got some very good youth players coming through, Jaden Kaczowski's and Jake Girdwood-Reichs. Is it paying more time and investment on them and getting them ready to fill those spots when the Grants and Wilkos and Redders, move on into retirement?
For sure.
And or is it looking overseas? Or both, I guess.
I think a combination of both. In Australia, people always think that you can be successful or you can develop young players. But I think when you look to other countries, let's say Portugal with Benfica and Porto, Sporting, or Holland with Ajax and PSV. You can be successful and you can develop young players, but young players need to get a chance. And if you look at the current squad and I look at the young players, I don't think that there's so like too many players with value. I would say Adrian Šegečić is a great talent, but he needs to play regularly. But apart from that, I don't see many players that I would consider players that have a potential great career. So it's tough.
They're not banging down the door and saying, "I'm better. I need to start."
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Demanding the start.
And it's tough. I mean, traditionally, Sydney is not really developing young players, but I mean, with all those that I just mentioned before, those players within the core of the success in the recent years, getting older or going away from the club, you just need to build up something new, and that would be a tough job to do in the next years for Adam and for the club.
And a new coach. Yeah,
and for the sporting director, Alex Bormio.
Yes, please.
Just putting a plug in there.
Speaking of some of the youngsters, Sean, even in the derby, actually, Aaron Gerd got a lot of praise for his performance in the derby. So his experience for Gerdy is invaluable with these circumstances. We had another debutant in the Celtic game, though, that you wanted to talk about, Sean.
Yeah, I like to think I'm pretty well across everything Sydney SC, but this is something... Who? Dejan?
Don't murder it. I've gone straight to the source. I've gone straight to Dejan.
Is there any silent letters?
No. So I thought there might
Back
be.
Back at
Donikoski? So we saw a massive unit. Well done.
Did I say it right? Back at Donikoski.
Back at Donikoski.
That's really well done, Sean. How do I say that and it's I can't pronounce
the best pronunciation?
That was very good from Sean. Sean's our resident linguist. You know, he's very good.
Wordsmith.
How old is he?
Jonathan?
He was playing under 20, so he'd be 19 or 20 years old.
You just mentioned Gerd Kucharski. But, I mean, they are 20, 21. For me, that's not
they should
young.
Be. That's not young.
I was speaking
about players. I mean, Segicic is 18.
Yeah.
When you look at, like, even the top clubs in Europe, they have at least one or two players starting in this age group. And, like, Jasbek, I think he's 20 or 21. And Woody, he's 20 or 21. Yeah. So
they're not young.
The really young players that I would consider talents is 18 or younger.
Mm.
And because when you are 20 or 21... You should normally
and this is
be in the, regular, be in the first 11 or on, you know.
It's part of the problem with the A-League not having as many opportunities, right? So if there was more teams,
also,
you know.
Always an excuse, right? Mm. I think in Australian football, there are champions to always find excuses for everything.
Mm.
If you have talent, you just have to throw the players in. Doesn't matter if there's, other players, older players or foreigners or whatever in front of them. If someone has the quality to play, I think coaches should just throw them in and not for excuses.
And I think that's a bit of a slight problem in Australian football because we get these marquees that come over from overseas. We think
automatic
start. Yeah, we better start them because we've paid the money and they're.
But that's like your choice.
Yeah,
I mean, you, club, you signed them. They're not coming to the club because they have to. I mean, if you make the choice that you rather. Sign a 32 or 33 year old player from the Spanish third division or English third division or second Bundesliga or whatever and put him in front of a young player and he's like obviously more expensive and everything and doesn't bring a value that you can sell him
at
one stage that's your own choice and you're the club you're responsible for that.
So Dejan built like a brick shit house, basically. Massive unit. Macedonian background, but has played NPL a bit last year.
Okay.
But not as much as, say, Gerdy and Nathan Grimaldi and I think it was Matthew Evans, I think is the other centre-back. But, so Dejan, we could be seeing a lot more of him in the NPL squad, I would say, for next year. We did a bit of homework on Dejan and hopefully he kicks on.
Yeah, but apart from the performance on the pitch and how the table looks at the moment. I think we always also have to mention that the club is doing a great job with, for example, getting the stadium almost full. I think Adam is doing a great job with that, which is not easy. Mm. And the crowd was great, like even in the derby, after not having won the first two games at home. almost having the stadium sold out. I think the first game against Victory was a bit unfortunate with the weather. That, should have have more people there. But I think apart from what's happening on the pitch, things are going into the right direction, and we just hope that things on the pitch will change too. I mean, with playing City the first game after the break and then at Central Coast Mariners.
Do you know what would be good, Alex, is if Australia beats Tunisia. beats Denmark in the morning. So then we go into the round of 16. So that means...
But then Redders will also...
Tommy Hewitt-Bell, he's a very solid understudy. And then they don't have Tilio Lekki or McLaren. That'd be a nice time to get him.
No coach, right?
That's sometimes that's the worst thing, you know, when you get that new manager coach syndrome, new manager.
That normally just happens if you're not successful.
And then they're all I want to impress the new coach. No, I agree. I think we've done off the pitch. I think we've done pretty well. I agree. Even that Sunday game at 3 p.m.
Adelaide.
Against Adelaide was like 19,000 something like that. That's a very healthy crowd for a Sunday. I don't think many clubs in the A League could really bolt. You know, sing and shout about their attendance better than Sydney. It's just exactly. Hopefully, the on-pitch stuff actually starts to
reflect what's happening off the pitch. Yeah,
you can't forget that Adam also he had big boots to fill, right? I mean,
he was
successful over his time at the club. So it's also not easy. So I think the club is doing great stuff. Off the pitch.
Yeah. And that, I mean, with the recruitment, I mean, we've talked about Lolly, we've talked about Mac, but in general, we went through and gave them a little bit of like a report card score, whether we like A, B, C, D. I think most of us were C's.
Six and a half points.
Yeah.
That was before they'd kicked the ball.
Yeah. So
that was before they'd kicked the ball.
Yeah, before they kicked the ball. So now we've got the, I guess, if we put the same question to you, you've had the luxury of obviously watching them and seeing their performances and taking into account, I guess, everything that you've seen. What would you rate the recruitment?
I think nothing really changed in my mind. I mean, I think before Sydney signed Rodwell, we knew that he's injury prone. He went through this during his whole career. I think he's a great player when he's fit, but there was obviously a risk. I think we hoped that it wouldn't happen that early, but even when he comes back, you always have to be worried that he gets injured again. I mean, I said before, Lolly and Mark, I think, are two great players. For me, maybe a bit too similar to get in the same system. Caballo, the left back, I really never heard about him before. I haven't seen much, and it's nothing against him, but what I just mentioned before, I would always go with someone Australian or someone, like if I can't find anyone in my youth system, then I go out and look at some Australians within the league, because then you can get someone younger with maybe more potential value that you can maybe make some money at one point,
like a Joel King.
and cheaper, you know, because like someone like that. And I think there are some around, but they made the decision, and
jury's out a bit. I think
for me, it's hard to just like put a number now, to rate them. I think it's unfortunate with Rodwell. I think that's a big, big loss. But
I got worried when the club put a picture up of him. He was doing a hurdle. I'm like, oh, just be careful, Jack.
Put him in bubble wrap.
I don't know. Hopefully he's back.
Hopefully.
But Donicky's
he's done all right.
He's doing all right. He's done a decent job.
With Gerd, I said it. He's not the youngest anymore. I'm not considering him as a young player, but for someone who has never played on this level, I think he's doing a quite good job. Yeah.
Alex, are you someone that thinks a footballer is a footballer, or are you someone that thinks there are certain players, or I guess certain stereotypes of foreign players that suit the A-League? What sort of, are you a bit of both? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think especially in a salary cap league and a league where you have just five foreign spots, you have to be, or you have to really plan signings longer, you know, because normally you can't make mistakes, especially when you give foreign players that you never seen live before 2 year deals, and then maybe after a short time you figure out that they are not what you are expected, and then you are stuck with them. So I think all is a process and takes work. You know, you need to put effort in every signing. You can't just rely on agents offering you players. You, as Sydney FC, as the biggest club in Australia, you have to go out
scouting,
proactive, and find the players that fit your system. And I know it's hard, and it takes a lot of work, time, and energy. But if you want to be a professional and you want to do a great job, again, especially where you have just five shots with foreigners, you know, you have to do all the due diligence, and you can't miss. I mean, as Central Coast Mariners or as Brisbane Roar or whatever, you can, because you don't have much expectations. But Sydney FC, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City, the three biggest clubs in the league, they need to be on top so they can't make mistakes.
Yeah,
yeah. The margin for error is little to nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
So what would you give our season so far? Average, below par, where we're sitting, what are we on, 8 points?
Seven,
sorry.
7 points. Seven from six.
You were hoping for eight. We said six. So,
I mean, you can all, again, you can find excuses and blame the injury, like saying it's because of the injuries.
Or a new system.
Maybe that's a bit.
Which I don't believe.
True. But obviously, I think it's disappointing, especially after last season where you became eighth, I think, and didn't make it to the finals. Now with a new stadium and a new system, new players, I think you expected more points. The good thing is, I think every game you could have won. There's nothing where you got really smashed, but also you could have lost every game. I mean, the two games you won against MacArthur and West United, those two teams, I said this before the season started, are probably
bottom six.
I would say bottom four. And you could have even lost those. You were a bit lucky in winning them.
Yeah. Red cards
help. When you just look at the table and at the points, I think it's disappointing. But now the coach and the team, they had some time to prepare to go to the next part of the season, and hopefully they use that. And it's crucial to start well, because I think if you lose the first game and then another game at home that you didn't
so we've
win,
got
pressure's on.
We've got City. We've got MacArthur
Mariners
again.
Mariners away.
Second game away. MacArthur's probably the game we would be expected to win the most from that, from those three. But we said in a previous pod, if we don't have a win with those three games before the end of the year, Imbi's head has to be not on the chopping block. I think it has to be chopped. Like guillotine.
I think it's close.
Or whatever the German version of the guillotine is. In a trebuchet maybe instead. But of the players so far, with these six games so far, any one or two players that have stood out for you? Or is it one of them being Bratz? He said, great seeing him back. Yeah. He's been solid. He's been very good.
And that surprised me a bit, because from game one against Victory, where he played, I think he played the whole game.
He's played every minute. Has he?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
He just looked like he was never away. Mm. And I really believe that last season, him not being fit was the thing that Sydney was missing most, you know. So he's for me the most positive point within the squad, I think that's about it.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the younger players that are stepping in, you just said it, Gerd or Segicic, whenever he played,
Jaden Kucharski,
he got some minutes. So I think it's good. That's something that we haven't seen before, that those young players are getting at least some minutes. Redis, I think he did really well so far. I haven't seen any mistake by him.
And what do we need? We've got the next three quarters to those of the season to go. What's missing? What are a couple of the jigsaw pieces that are missing?
Do you think it's just executing the plan, or do you think we need a different plan?
Yeah, I don't know what the plan is.
Yeah.
I mean, the system changed and the players are there now, so in personnel you can't really change much.
That's right.
Everyone would probably say just wait for the injured players to get back and then hope that things work out. But to be honest, right now, I think you can't really do much. Mm. Just working hard and
tighten up that defense.
Yeah.
And maybe not just use Mac and Lolly as
maybe
your only outlets for goals. Just mix it up a little bit because, it's kind of like get them the ball and they look to cut in and shoot, which has worked, but maybe look to play your 9 and your 10 a bit more and use them as your vehicle to be able to score some goals rather than just putting all your eggs in the one Mac and Lolly basket. Yeah, it's a little bit one-dimensional.
Absolutely. Do you miss it, Alex? Do you miss playing?
Yeah, I would lie if I say that whenever I walk into Allianz Stadium, and especially the derby, I saw the Cove and the atmosphere, that it wasn't like tickling inside of me. But I'm all right. I mean, I made the decision to step away. I always said it. I would have loved to continue my time at Sydney, and I was really devastated that my contract extended. But it is how it is. I mean, that's football. And after having played for Sydney FC, the club, that really means a lot for me, especially with what happened to my mom and the fans supporting me and all this stuff. I will never forget that. So that the club will always be in my heart. And I couldn't sign in any other A-League club after Sydney FC because wouldn't feel right.
Someone with morals.
upstairs. Do you still? When was the last time you kicked a football?
Like I'm still playing every fortnight, Tuesday nights with friends, five aside.
Oh god, that's
together
cool. Football
with friends. Yeah, outside on
artificial
grass.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So we are just kicking around, and that's fun. I still enjoy it. I'm going to the gym 3 times per week, going for runs and stuff, and I'm always joking that I'm fitter than ever. So
ready to go.
I would be ready to.
I believe.
No. Hang on. I'm going to come out of retirement just so I can welcome you into the Enfield All Age team next year.
No.
It's a better type of grain, and I've got seniority on this pod. So
he needs higher.
Sorry, but that quality is a little bit below.
We're missing a number 10.
I think there's a contract offer coming across the table after the podcast, Alex. Yeah, just so
depends
you know.
On what you guys. Yeah.
They got belted by.
Hey, the Australia Cup game, you know.
Yeah. We went deep into the Australia Cup. My team, Sydney United, we got knocked out by. So
what was the score?
You don't want to know. they forgot to count.
Valentine Parker. Yeah.
No, we were competitive for about 40 minutes, and then within 5 minutes of the halftime, they scored three quick goals. Yeah, I changed the tactics. We were playing
manager's
too much fault. Through our 7-11, and we had to change
the manager.
Yeah, exactly.
The manager. Too tense.
No.
There you go. That will get him over the line.
I'm semi-sensible, Alex. I don't play with any horseshoe sort of shape in a 4-2-2-2-2.
But which position you play?
4-3-3.
Oh, me?
I don't play anymore.
He's a manager.
Are you the coach?
Yeah. I'm the first grade coach.
He did his ACL. Was it?
Last year.
Last year I did my ACL.
I did my ACL twice and I was back after.
Yeah, this is my second one.
Come on,
I did no surgery.
All right.
Just like recuperated, strengthened. But I might play next year, but my heart's more in coaching. Like I'm starting to coach NPL and stuff like that. So
any like coaching license already? Or?
Yeah, my C license, and I'm hopefully getting my B license next year. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But
sounds like Quakers Hill Junior Football Club's got a soccer club.
Yeah,
got a new potential number 10. You might be tempted to play
Well,
feeding balls through to Balmyohan.
In all seriousness, we are actually looking for, that's the last piece of my jigsaw puzzle. This
well, there you
season.
Go.
Recruited
you go.
Well, but we are looking for a 10. So
watch
Alex,
this space.
We'll talk off.
Watch
talk off.
I can play for 10 minutes. Oh, come on.
Talk after that.
Yeah. How good. How good. Alex, we'll close this part of the pod. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure for us. Like I said, I could have listened to you and Jules talk about German football, I think, for another couple of days. That was brilliant. But thanks so much for coming in tonight. We really appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime you like, and best of luck with the career. It's exciting time for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to see what's going to happen. Football is so unpredictable. If someone would have told me 5 years ago that I would be in Sydney now and I have spent my last 4 years here, I would thought the guy would.
That's it.
That's crazy.
So yeah, you never know what's going to happen. And we will see. But thanks for the invite, and I really enjoyed it.
Pleasure. And
good
we'll
luck
be back
for the season.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see right. about the contract negotiations. Maybe a pack, of lollies. Pack of lollies.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That'll be part one of the podcast. We'll be back really soon, and we'll talk about the A-League Women's, how that's kicked off in the first couple of rounds, and what's to come for the girls and the boys in the next couple of weeks. Brilliant to have A-League champion Alex Balmyohan there. And as I said, boys, and you know, we say that quite a bit. Oh, we could have talked to you for hours.
We literally could have.
Like, just talking about Sydney FC for that long, but you know, hearing about German football and his thoughts on that, it's way more intelligent than the three of us, that's for sure.
Oh, speak for yourself.
That's not hard.
But not hard, but you know. But you know, Adam Santo.
Yeah.
Get him on board. Get him on board. No, honestly though, brilliant football mind and now a business mind for Alex. So good luck to him. Hopefully,
Lovely chat.
Land something soon. If not at Sydney FC, it might be Sydney FC's loss. But that's all right. We should talk about Sydney FC a bit more. Yeah. A-League Women's season has kicked off. We've been out of action for a couple of weeks, taking a few weeks off, boys. But the girls haven't started too badly.
It's been all right. Yeah. It's been decent. Let's smash this out as quick as possible. Yeah. Rip off the Band-Aid.
Yep.
They kicked off the season against Adelaide United with a 1-0 loss. Look, could have, should have won. Stats-wise, if you watch the game on telly and whatnot, or if you're like Michelle Morris and you flew all the way over there, boy, does she rack up some frequent flyer miles. They should have won that game. But going all the way over to Adelaide, and it is Adelaide, in the first game of the season, a point would have been acceptable. I love you, Jada, but you shouldn't have come
just
out.
Just got caught off the line.
Yeah, very nice header by her name. If you
Great goal.
Yeah. Because if Jada stays on a line, that header either A, doesn't happen,
Was it Chelsea Dorber that put the ball in?
Yes,
I think so.
Adelaide are going to go close this year.
But they're looking very good. They're 2-2. And I've...
Princess had about 1,000 chances.
Oh, there was one in particular in whatever minute. But
so
yeah,
I'm going to say they were working the rust out, I think, that game. Like you said, Sean, we could have gotten a result quite easily there. Yeah. But
look, okay, first game.
Couple of debuts.
Debuts. Deborah Ann got hers, and
did Kirsty come on?
Did
Abby Lemon?
For the
I think
first
might
game.
No.
I know she started the second.
I'm pretty sure she didn't.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and the Mad Dog didn't come in that first.
Mad Dog.
No, no Remy, no Rachel. Find out what's doing with Rachel, John.
Yeah, she was signing autographs during the week, so
I'll be signing autographs.
But look, okay, put that. Take our medicine, learn from it, moved on.
Played the champions.
It was a grudge match against Victory up at Cromer Park. And the girls were absolutely flawless. In saying that, Victory offered sweet FA.
Yeah.
They were pretty shit.
Yeah? I haven't seen a lot of it, to be honest.
I watched the game. They were shit. Chidiak toiled away and tried hard, but as soon as she got any time on the ball, it was just like she was on an island. There was just no one helping her. But
is it bad that it's a good win, great 3 points, but I don't care. Just got to beat him in the final.
Yes, okay, that's when it matters. But
because we've beat them during the season the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
you know?
It always matters, but it matters a little bit more in certain games.
I'm going to bang on about this all season. Sorry,
it was
girls.
2-0 at halftime.
Sorry, guys.
Could have been 3 or 4, but a couple of goals, clean sheet, dominated the game from start to finish. The Mad Dog,
lovely
Madison Haley. She was fucking awesome. She was real. Like, I know it's only been one game and
welcome
all that.
Welcome to the A-League Women's.
But she was very good.
Yeah.
And
she started up top with Princess?
With Princess and I've forgotten who else is up there. Oh, Courtney. Sorry, Courtney.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think you said in an earlier pod ever many weeks ago, you said that she might be pushing for a starting spot each week. I thought she might be the one, like Rojas that week, got a dog who's gone. I've got that reference
she's
in,
a week
who's in City now. Might just be coming off the bench. But Madison, she was impressive. She was very – and that finish, Jono, class. I was like, oh, she's going to –
Remy, possibly?
Oh, no.
Future games? No?
Well, Princess can improve on her finishing, possibly, but
story of her life.
Yeah. But, and look, great seeing the Cove there. Great TIFO. It was fantastic to have their
it
support
was a
as well.
TIFO.
Still no low, but Remy came off the bench, so she's back.
Finally.
She's back, I tell you.
After all the rigmarole of the playoffs and that. So, No, it's good.
Yeah, back from Sweden.
Great experience for
him. But otherwise, great game. I thought Nat was fantastic, your mate from Koalas. You've obviously got an area over the week and said, look, you need to work on this, Nat, if you want to come back to Koalas next season. I don't want to see any of this bullshit at pre-season when it's on.
No holidays.
Exactly. No mid-season.
Macca was awesome as always. And I was really impressed with Shay Holman. She started and I thought, oh, is this a bit too soon for us? She did not look out of place whatsoever.
Elite.
She was the best of the Holmans.
Mm. She's elite.
Sorry, ooh. Corey and Jake. Ooh. Yeah,
you had to be determined. They're both. They're all very young.
Something in the water on the blood.
Jake,
there.
Come back. You're not getting much game time.
But no, they were fantastic. So girls, shall we move to the preview?
Anything
else to say about that game?
It was a re-debut for Anna Green, I think, in the first game too. Sean, I think, started on the left. Our Kiwi
international.
Kiwi
girl. Yep.
Not bad. Three good win over the champions. I'm a little worried about our lack of experience in some of those.
Mm. I dare say even a younger squad.
It's super young. Younger. It is super young.
Like the Matt McConaughey's.
So basically, what I'm saying is, Teresa, I know you're enjoying the Dub Zone. Dub Zone, by the way, Dub Zone.
Very cool.
Did you guys see any of that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
My Paramount cool. was being, no, my 10 play was being stupid on the weekend. Like I'd put on the game and then it kept on turning to the
I
Dub Zone
saw
magically.
It week one, and for a neutral, because Sydney weren't playing, I thought it was great. I didn't think I'd like it, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think the three games on and.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like it. Yeah,
very innovative.
I wish they did that with the World Cup games because I'm having to watch on two different devices at the moment.
Simultaneous.
I know.
Struggles, Jules.
I know. That sucks.
But great. look, three points from six, not a bad start. And to beat Victory anytime, as you said, Jules.
They might struggle this year. Just on a quick side, they lost to Western the first week, which is Western should you be listening to them? But they're two from two. As well, and then they lost to us. So
it's that new club syndrome, I think. Like the Wanderers, when they first came into the league with the A-League men's the A-League back then they obviously killed it for the first few rounds. I think they drew, and then they won.
Well, they have the stamina as a new club to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Zimmerman looks like she's out for.
Well, they
had
the semen retention to be able to see it through the rest of the season. It's a thing. Don't worry, I'll tell you off air. So it's a whole, it's a new thing. You know, like drip and the other
David,
thing.
David Seaman?
Yeah.
David Seaman,
yeah,
yes.
We'll that can be our safe word.
Related to
David
Seaman's so confused. Safe word.
All right, so we'll talk later.
Let's talk about a preview or something.
I got a good name for this week's episode.
Sidemen?
Leave it. Okay, stop there, KSI. but look, we've gone from a big blue playing last year's Wankers the final to the derby, derby.
How good.
Saturday, 3rd of December at Marconi Stadium, kickoff at 3 p.m. That is 1500 hours. Our squad, I will be unchanged. I don't think Ante will, as in, I think Mad Dog will still. She likes being referred to that. Isn't that her Insta handle?
It is her Insta handle.
Yeah.
Mad Dog.
Sorry, Janaea Dos Santos is the other one that got the debut.
Okay.
In the first week. That
one
was
of
the
Dos Santos.
Yes. Sorry, guys. Sisters. Sorry, Sean.
But I think we have Mad Dog, Princess, and Courtney up there. Sarah, Macca. Why not start Shay again? She was fantastic. Unless maybe Rachel's fit, but who knows there.
The competition in the midfield. Like last year, we were stacked. We're stacked again.
And then at the back. Charlotte, Nat doing nothing wrong. I think there's still maybe a little bit of
working the defense out,
flexibility of who might start on each flank at the left and right.
Charlie's been starting at right back still.
Charlie's gone back, so she was playing at 10 in, I think, the first week against Adelaide, which she's apparently a striker or forward, but I think just put a... She was better at right back. Mm.
Yeah.
And then you might have, whether it be Deborah Ann or Miss Lemon. No. So who am I thinking of? Kirsty
Fenton? Sorry. Yeah. She started last game. I thought she was all right. So, and she'll have more to give. Mm. I think it's just that first game for the club. Yeah. I think it's just naturally a little bit tougher, maybe, just to get into the rhythm of the new chemistry with new players, all that sort of stuff. But no, I think the Wanderers, they'll be better this season, I think. They've recruited okay, I guess.
Anthony Caceres' sister scored for them.
Yeah. So I think they've got a better squad, definitely. And I think they've, you know, no disrespect, but I'd also think they've got a better manager now. So I think they'll put up a decent or a sterner test than what they did last year. I think we kind of, with, you know, all disrespect to the Wanderers, we did walk all over them. So they'll be better. They'll be a little bit dangerous going forward as well. I think Sophie Harding is going to be a bit of the thorn in the side. The good thing is that I think... depending on where she's playing, and if Kirsty starts, they'll know each other's game pretty well, so might nullify that.
But I still expect our girls to get up with a clean sheet.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I think so. You're going to head out to that one, Sean?
Coney Stadium on a Saturday. I am not doing anything then. It's a bit of away from San Siete.
You've come a long way tonight.
I left yesterday.
You've done your travels for the night.
Lucky for that Bella Vista airstrip getting me here.
Nat Tobin, should she play, will go... clear fifth all-time for Sydney FC women's appearances.
God, she's old.
She'll go ahead of... she's currently equal with Nicola Bulger.
Ooh. Oh, good old Bulge.
Yeah, one ahead of Lizzie Ralston. So she'll go clear into fifth and on the hunt for Caitlin Ford, only a couple of appearances behind her. So good stuff, Captain Nat.
Yeah. So how do we say... You want to give us a 3-0. Score prediction?
3-0. The Mad Dog, Remy and Courtney. All scoring.
Like flying V...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's a
deep cut.
Yeah, so I don't even. I'm not sure who's going to be the point of the attack, but all three of them.
Yeah. I'll just be different. I'll say 2-0 again. I think, you know, still some cobwebs and stuff.
Why not five?
No, I'm.
That's different.
That's very different. That's very different.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much after my semen retention comment.
Jesus.
Yeah, I peaked early. I'm really worried about
that. We'll talk. I'll send you a link.
Is it as bad as it sounds?
Hopefully not.
No, it depends which way you look at it, but we'll talk.
Double entendre?
Yeah, we'll talk. Okay. I think it'll be fun.
I think I'll go 3-1 result.
What?
Yeah. I think Sophie Harding will get something.
Bitch.
Something.
She's a nice lady.
She's not a Koalas player, is she? No. Huh? Is she going to come to the Koalas? Are you going to work
out
there?
She was.
Oh,
yeah, she was at the Koalas. That's why
I've seen her get coached.
Bias. Yeah, big bias.
Yeah, so 2-0, 3-0, and a 3-1.
So we're going to lose.
No,
nah, this is the women's team.
All right. No, they don't lose.
When we say positive things, they deliver.
They do. We don't tend to jinx the girls up until this week. So, look, good luck, girls. Keep going. Smash Ante, doing your thing. Keen to see Mad Dog as well. Madison can run around and just Macca hunting around the middle. Come on, do more Macca. Do you want to do a quick mention how you absolutely destroyed me in fantasy?
Yes, we do. Of course we do.
Because Macca and Courtney, come on, pull your finger out because you're on my fantasy team.
I can't believe you spent $650,000 on Mackenzie. Come on.
Damn.
Come on.
I bought her at the first round. like prior to the first round, like when everyone's supposed to. Did I do something wrong?
No, just like that's a lot of money for Macca.
But that's how much she's worth. That's she's how worth much
more.
She means to me.
She's worth more.
But don't you buy... Didn't one of you fella... You in it?
I'm in it. I organised it.
Sorry. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for that.
He's not 2 from 2 with a points difference
not 2 from 2.
79 or so.
Yeah, I lost to Rose of all people last week. Oh, sorry,
of all people.
Weak gutted. No. But like, aren't you supposed to buy one of those top
tier players? Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Jules, you got the table up there?
I do have the table up here.
I believe there's only one current Sydney FC soon to be Hall of Famer in front of me.
Yes, is that real?
And is that actually confirmed her?
I haven't confirmed it, no.
I'll text her now. I hope it is Teresa Polias, because if you're listening, Teresa, you're killing it.
Thank you.
Two from two.
She's got inside word. She's like an inside trader.
Jono closely following.
Just
with Big Polias Energy. Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, you see, there you go.
I like that name.
You like it?
He's just lucky who he's had to verse the first two rounds.
I smashed you, hey.
Michelle Morris is,
I'm assuming that's Michelle.
Yes, it is Michelle, yeah.
Well done. Michelle Morris TV super fan is coming third. She's perfect. Yeah. You know, even without being two from two, she's perfect.
Oh.
Little shout out for her.
Super fan.
Super fan. Put your wedding ring back on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Jesus. And McLean Sheets. That's a good name.
That is a very good name.
Yeah, Rose coming in with 6 points. So that's the top four. Perfect. And the rest of us mere mortals, nothing really to see there, unfortunately, this time.
I've got to put up some sort of a fight, considering I think the men's team I've got is struggling.
Yeah, I'm not in that. It's probably a good thing.
Fantastic. That's going to be a highly competitive league. Mm. Guys, I think that does us for the week. It's always nice to be in the studio, seeing you boys face to face, and
it's good.
Having Alex, like I said, the wonderful football mind that was Alex Baumjohann as well. Thanks again, Baum, for coming in and having a chat and sharing your knowledge with us. And you know, that was great.
Yeah,
he's had a busy week.
Great player, great person as well. Yeah, I really hope that the club look at him.
I thought you were going to say, really hope he signs on.
Well, look, I really, you know what? You know, so you're saying there's a chance. No. But in all seriousness, I would just love to see him involved in Sydney, because I think the fans love him.
They'd be silly not to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, fingers crossed, watch this space and let's see how that goes.
Not too, Sean.
Oh, look.
You packed your bag for your trip home?
Yep. private jet's picking me up. Thanks, Patreon, for sorting that out. And I just hope when people listen to this pod tomorrow, which would be Thursday, they're also not just enjoying our vocal tones, but also enjoying a Socceroos win.
Yeah, let's hope so. Go boys.
Yep. Go the boys. I hope everybody that's listening to this podcast right now is delirious in passion and enthusiasm for the Socceroos that we've just got through round of 16, and you're also drunk off your tits. Because I know I will be when
this
is
my saying from last pod. Very good. Gents, pleasure as always. We will release something next week.
Yeah, we have to, because it's Melbourne City. We're actually back. Yeah.
Boys are back in 2 weekends time. So. Yeah. We'll be back on a weekly basis after this little break that we've had. So thanks once again, and we'll talk to everyone very soon.